I could talk about this every single day, all day, 365 days a year. You also have to be willing to learn about it 365 days of the year. You have to. I really pride myself in staying up to date as much as possible. Like, I'm not going to be perfect, right? But I'm going to try to stay up to date in my industry that I chose so that I can give that value and that education back to my customers.
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne-Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater, and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe! Hello, Lashners and friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Untamed Podcast. Today, we have a special guest on our podcast, but she's not just a guest, but she's also a friend of mine. Surprisingly, I think she's the first guest that we have that is not in the lash industry, right? I think so.
Yeah.
So today we have my friend and our guest, Linda, on our podcast. Linda, I want you to tell our listener a little bit about yourself. What do you do? Just kind of get us acquainted.
I would love to. Thank you, Cheryl and Enroy, for having me on the podcast. And yeah, it's really awesome to be here as your friend and expert. Myself, well, I go as a digital business coach. I specialize in e-commerce. I spent the last decade in this industry and in retail specifically. So I got really, you know, got my hands dirty in e-commerce, really got into it. And it made me realize that it's a really big industry, very big space that a lot of female entrepreneurs need help in, because it's still pretty new, the concept of buying things online and how to master that. So I'm really here to share as much information as I can and help as many people as possible, and specifically females, because we tend to be underserved in this area, to succeed and live their dream life.
Yeah. So I know that, like, you know, because I know you personally, would you mind if you share with our listener a little bit about your story in your career? I know that during the last year or so, you have made a pretty big transition in leaving your corporate job into starting being your own, like being an entrepreneur yourself as well. So could you tell us, just fill in the blanks in that story for us?
I worked in e-commerce for so many years and for pretty well-known brands in the Canada space. So places like Got Style, their menswear boutique store in Toronto, at Nine West, at Hair Rosen. That's the one that usually impresses people. And then I went to a company called YM Inc. and they specialize in fast fashion. So I've really been on this world tour, as I call it, with different retailers. So I started in small businesses where you literally have to do everything. You wear like five different hats and you have a title that doesn't quite fit what you do. So you really learn a lot in that space, to a corporate luxury space and then fast fashion. Because that's sort of like the extreme, is like a luxury where t-shirts cost $800. That, you know, we don't have to get into that. But yeah, where t-shirts cost $800 to where t-shirts cost like $5. And in those worlds, business runs differently, the same, but also differently. How you talk to your customers, the customers you're serving, basically making sure that you're constantly relevant. That's the biggest challenge of every business, right? Making sure that your customers still love you from like the first day they met you, it's like dating them, to like the current day. You're still thinking about them and having them in mind. And that's really what I learned being in e-commerce. So I was there for a really long time. And I say that when I finally got to the corporate world, because I essentially climbed the ladder from like being an assistant to becoming director of e-commerce, it was kind of a letdown. Like, I just didn't expect that after all these years climbing the industry and, like, you know, you're like, I just want that title. Like, I want to be respected. I want to be an executive. Like, I wanted all of those things. And once I got there, it was not what I thought it was going to be like. It didn't have the respect that you thought you would get. Externally, you do. But internally, when you join a really big corporation, things have just been done the same way for like 20, 30, 40 years. And change scares them. But like, I like love change. I'm like, I want new stuff all the time. I want to get exciting. And when I worked at small companies, like, we got really excited about digital transformations. We're like, oh, you know, we're going to do this and that. So realizing where I fit in the equation and in this industry made a difference. And ultimately, I just couldn't get along with them. I couldn't get along with the other execs. They didn't respect my ideas. They were never as excited as I was. And I just felt undervalued, even though, like, you know, I was getting paid like six figures. It was really good money-wise, but it was just other things that matter too in a workplace because you spend 40 plus hours doing what you do. So if you're not happy, you leave. And that's what I did. I left only within 3 months. I only lasted 3 months. And I was like, you know what? Very quickly, I was like, I can see the same thing happening again because I usually work for companies for 3 years at least. So after 3 months, I was like, you know what? I had to call it quits. This is it. This is not what I want to do. The pandemic probably highlighted a lot of issues that maybe I didn't see before that I was like, yeah, you know what? Like, I've always wanted to start my own business. And I think now is the time. Let's just get your shit together and start this business that you've always dreamed of. It's at least in my 20s, I was like, this is something that I've always wanted to do. And it just made sense to me to take what I am to have a lot of experience in, that what I'm naturally good in, and teach it to other people. Because what's that saying? They say, oh, if you can't do, you teach. Like, if I couldn't sit in a room and do these things anymore, let's just teach other people who want to. And it's been really wonderful because as I transitioned into being a coach, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know Tony Robbins is considered a coach. I thought he was like an inspirational speaker. I watched his stuff. So when I discovered what a coach was, I was like, I think that this encompasses everything that I want to do. And right now, that's the title that I can give to myself that other people start understanding, oh, okay, like that's what you do. Because I wouldn't want anyone to be confused, which it happens often because I can do so many things. But I just want to be as clear as possible to the people who are finding me, like looking for me, that they can find me and tap into my expertise. So I've been a coach now for about 8-9 months. And now we are... That takes you into present day. I am today a coach.
Nice. There's so much I want to dive in there. So for this podcast, for the listener, my intention is that I want to pick your brain on like two aspects, right? Because I want to pick your brain as a stylist and I want to get some ideas on the digital marketing and building my business digitally. How do I leverage the platforms and leverage like the resources that I have to build a successful business as a lash artist? But then after, I want to dive in a little bit into that coaching aspect of it because you are still, I don't know if you would consider yourself still in that like building phase of your business. Like from a sideline, I've watched you grow so rapidly, so successfully. And there's just so much that I think as an educator or coaches in our industry, which we have a lot of them, that they can take a lot of valuable lessons away, like from your experience. So just kind of giving people some context of how the conversation is going to go. The first thing that I wanted to kind of dive into for the artists is, you mentioned something about customers. That's one of the biggest things that you learn is how to make your customer fall in love with you and how you keep them in love with you from the way they're in love with you on day one. Now, as a lash artist, for us, it's really important to have high retention rate because majority of our business comes from reoccurring services. So people rebooking their services and repeating customers. What tips can you give our lash artists in how do we make our, I guess, prospect fall in love with us? That's the first part of the question. And then the second part is how do we keep them continually staying in love with us?
That is a really good question. A really relevant one to e-commerce too, actually. Because I say that because I do have this question asked from a lot of people that I work with. Because at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing, and especially like really important and when you're a service provider, but it's important in general to know your customers because they're going to be the ones who they're supporting you. They're giving you their money. They are funding your dreams and you need them a lot. You know, you need them to trust you and build that rapport with them. So when it comes to having your customers fall in love with you, what's really important is actually knowing them. So it's not about like what you think is not always what you think is right, because customers will either tell you directly to you or indirectly whether or not they like your experience and your service or your products. So some way, somehow, you can figure it out. Sometimes you can just straight up ask them like, hey, like, what did you think about my service? Where can I improve? But at the end of the day, it really matters what their experience is and what they're looking for from you. What is it that you meet in the middle that you're providing them that they're looking for? And eventually they'll start to see, oh, like this person actually really cares about me, which you do because you want to get to know them. And that this person pays attention to like what I like and what I don't like. Because when it comes to being a service provider, so like thinking about a lash tech, you can have different styles of lashes. Like you can be one that like really likes volume and you really want it to be like a diva, or you can want it like cat eye, or you're like, oh, I'm on the natural side. I just want to kind of look like I have mascara on. So already based off that, like that's only three, but there's probably hundreds of like different asks from different people because also our eye shape is different. Then already you have to remember like, oh, hey, Linda came in and she likes this type of lash. Like I'm going to make sure that it looks as close as possible to what I've been doing for her, but I might not even be doing that for other people. So you kind of like customize that experience and it becomes one-on-one when you're a service provider versus like comparing to other companies when you're selling a product. You have like a wide range of customers who can tell you like if 50 people buy this one thing, clearly you did a good job curating this product because that's exactly what they're looking for. And you can find more like it or like try to figure out what your customers also want on top of it. But being a service provider to get them to fall in love with you is really to get to know them and know that they are very, very important to your business.
First of all, I want to say you know a lot about lashes for someone who is not in the lash industry.
I have started getting them done myself, and I've been helping my cousin set up her business. We kind of talk about it a lot, which Cheryl, you know, because yeah. I got her some of your products. She really likes them. And well, she's testing a few of them out, but she really likes yours. And so that is one way. But the other way really is talk to people a lot. I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs. I've met so many people from around the world, and some of them are beauty service providers, you know? So they're doing like brows, lashes, nails, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it comes from.
Well, the second part of my question was that now that we got them to fall in love, you know, we provided the service that they're happy with, how do we keep them stay in love with us so that they would continuously come back?
Yeah. Rewarding loyalty. So that's why like loyalty programs are like the bee's knees. You know, you go to Shoppers, Sephora, like why go to Sephora for makeup when they don't always have sales, but over going to like Shoppers Drug Mart because now they kind of carry the same stuff. And usually what came into play because Shoppers only started to get their loyalty program recently was that Sephora had a loyalty program. So you can collect points and you can like redeem them for stuff. So it made me feel good to be a regular customer of Sephora. So how you can make this a thing in your small business is to just make sure like to keep track of who keeps coming back. Because sometimes, like, if you're really busy, you're, like, not even thinking about it. You're, like, it's, like, a whirlwind. You know, you're, like, oh, I have another customer, so I have to take them. But really taking that time to analyze your business and make a note of, like, who was, like, my top five customers? Who's come back, like, 2-3 times? And, you know, they're really nice. And I genuinely have a good time with them. You want to start rewarding them somehow. And it could be, like, anything. You can get creative. It doesn't need to be costing you an arm and leg. You can be really cost effective with this, but it's just kind of like a, hey, thank you so much for coming back because you don't have to. And, you know, like enjoying my services, here is something. Here is $5 off your next service. Here is a $5, $10 Starbucks cup. You know, I want to buy you a coffee. It's really the gesture that matters. And then they, again, going back to even like the first question is like, it's a loop because then they're like, oh, this person is thanking me and they're noticing that I'm constantly coming back. So I feel really appreciated and valued in the long term. That like 10%, that $5 off that you give them actually goes a really long way in building their relationship with you. Because if they keep coming back, like I know this is pretty important when we're talking with lash artists too, where it's like the income aspect. If this person keeps coming back, it's a consistent income and that's all you need, right? You need like a few people who come back regularly and you're like, your books are good.
Yeah, it doesn't take a lot of clients for us to have full books. It doesn't really, you know, you think of a hairstylist and they need to have over like 200 clients and that's because they come so infrequently. And I'm sure that number is even higher now that a lot of us are only getting our hair done twice a year with all the new techniques that are coming out. So I think that's actually pretty special with the lash industry. I think our industry focuses a lot on getting in new clients, but not enough on retaining the clients you do have. So do you have any tips that you would recommend to the stylist listening on how to keep their clients coming back? Rewarding their loyalty is great, but what are some key things that they can do every service to ensure that the client wants to come back to get to the point where they are a loyal client?
Adding value is a big one. So making sure that your space feels a certain way, making sure that I know one thing that I really like when I get my lashes done is when they clean my lashes for me beforehand to make sure that my lashes are as clean as possible, and even put on a primer, just making sure that the retention is there and that you do a good service is really, really important. While you're evaluating the customer, at least you're like keeping track of what they want. You have to also make sure that you maintain your skills and your service and like how it is. Something that I learned, and I really like this, and Michelle was the one who taught me this. She told me what she does is that she found out that her service is better because when they didn't talk, when your customer's on the bed and they're not talking because they're like moving around, your like your eyeballs move a lot when you talk. I don't know why, but even though they're closed. So she was like, I would talk to them while I'm like, you know, maybe taking off some of the lashes from before. And then when I'm done, I will say, okay, like, you know, we're about to start the service. You know, it's going to take this amount of time. So why don't you go ahead and enjoy your lash nap and I'll wake you up when you're done. Or like when you wake up, you have beautiful lashes. And it's a hint to the customer that for the benefit of both of them, you can just go take a nap. And it's like kind of a perfect time because it's like at least 2 hours.
So you guys heard it here from somebody who is not a lash artist that how much they appreciate getting their lashes cleansed prior to a service, and also how much they appreciate a silent treatment. You know, these are all the things that we always talk about in our podcast, but it's so refreshing to hear from a customer's perspective and how much you guys appreciate that. And I think it's really reassuring for the lash artist to know that these aren't those trivial things that is it worth your effort? Is it not worth your effort? And if you are talking about from a lash, I guess, client perspective, that this is what keeps you coming back, I think that, like, you know, artists should really take notes that it's not at the end of the day, like how symmetrical your fans are and like, you know, how clean your isolation is, which it should be, but what the customer do pay attention to is how good they feel during the service, right? Like that's my takeaway from your tips there.
Yeah, for sure. Something that I want to bring up in this time is communicating with your clients to set expectations. Because the reason why I enjoy my lash naps is because I find that the retention is better when I'm not awake and they look amazing afterwards. So it's for your own benefit to get the most out of your experience and keeping your lashes on as long as possible is to take a nap. And it's easy. Like it's literally the smallest thing. Like it's just go to sleep because honestly, it's hard not to talk, especially when you become friends, right? It's hard not to update them on what's been going on, but just give them a quick update in the beginning. You maybe have to become friends with them outside of lashing to get updates on your life if you guys get along really well. But yeah, all these little things is because after the service, that's not as far as experience goes. My experience continues as a client pass once I leave the doors because I'm going to be wearing the lashes and I'm going to be maintaining them. And what I learned to how I am taught how to clean them and maintain them is also really important for that retention, like making sure you brush them. And everybody needs this reminder regularly because when you have lashes on, there's some things that you have to compromise that you can't like rub your eyes all the time. Usually after I get them done, I don't take a shower. Like I'll shower before, I mean, but like I won't want water to touch them for at least like 24 hours. And mostly because, yeah, it takes like a couple hours to get them done. It does a lot of time out of somebody, especially like me as a busy entrepreneur. It saves me time in the long run, but I have to like invest those first 2-3 hours on that bed to make sure that they're like as good as possible. And then I can enjoy them for like 2, almost 3 weeks when they're done really well.
Well, Linda, you are here to teach us, you know, all your wisdom. It would not be fair if we don't share some wisdom with you as the lash expert.
Yeah, I'm here to learn too. Yeah.
As the lash expert.
Cheryl.
Actually, not wetting your lashes in the first 24 hours is a complete myth. It
really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It would actually make your lashes not last as long if you kind of have that mindset of, if I wash my lashes, it will cause my lashes to fall out. Adhesive nowadays, like the UA adhesive, for example, they dry within 0.5 seconds to like 2 seconds. So the amount of adhesive on each extension is so little that by the time your service is done, they are completely dry. So if you like having your lashes cleansed, you can even request your artist to cleanse your lashes after the service, because this actually helps prevent irritation. It helps you wash away like any vapor that can in the long run perhaps lead to sensitivities and things like that.
I like that. That's a good tip.
Yeah. So
and that means I can shower after.
Exactly. You can shower after and you should honestly, like, I think we are at a point now in our industry where if your skill set is there and you practice, right, you should pretty much guarantee a really great retention for your clients with very minimal effort from them. Because going back to the customer experience is that, like, yeah, you're busy, but the service itself is also expensive. So sometimes it's easy for a person to talk themselves out of getting lashes because they think about the extra work that it takes to maintain it as well. So when it's done well, especially in a silent treatment, the reason why you're seeing better retention in silent treatment is because the less eye movement, so the attachments are more secure and all that stuff. Yeah, like you can definitely start washing your lashes immediately after service. Shower away. Have you ever seen those like people, like those memes of people like wear a visor or like goggles, go to shower? Yeah. Oh, the good old times in the industry.
That's
yeah.
That's awesome. Well, we heard it here from the experts. So I'm definitely going to, yeah, remember that.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be so much easier for your life. Because before I would just like, actually, my retention was a little worse before when I knew this. When I didn't know this, I would shower and then go get my lashes done. But because my hair is wet, because I haven't blow dry it, so there's a lot more moisture in the air when the lash artist is applying the extension. So the adhesive is actually drying just slightly too fast, because that's the very science nerdy stuff where, you know, adhesive needs moisture, whatever. So my retention actually ended up being a little worse because I shower right before I go and my hair is wet.
Wow. All these little things that go into it. It's very like, I find that it's great for very detailed oriented people.
Oh yeah, for sure. If you like detail, this is your jam. Now I wanted to know a little bit more about, like, so we talked about, you know, how to get our customers to fall in love with us, how to make them continuously coming back. But we are in a digital age right now. It's very hard for us to avoid that the digital platform completely when it comes to building a business, even if it's a service-based business. Do you have any tips for our listeners on how to leverage these digital platforms? And then this would be a great segue for you to even bridge the gap between what's the difference between a service provider building their business on a digital platform, like social medias and stuff like that, versus a coach, an educator, building their presence and their business on the digital platform.
You definitely said it. It is a digital world right now. And if you're a business and you're not on any of these platforms, because you don't have to be on all of them, but you can pick and choose which ones, even if it's just one, to use as advertising, you're really missing out. You're really missing out on opportunity to reach new clients. And what I usually suggest before even starting anything is figure out why and what your goal is. So like if you're starting an Instagram for your business, what is it that you want to convey? Because there's many different ways you can do it. Like if you're one of those people who are like, oh, I really want to show that I'm very luxurious and I'm really about my branding, then you would really care about your color scheme and how everything looks and like the full aesthetics of it. If you're not and you're really like, I just want to be here and I want to show my work, it's more of like a portfolio, you can do that too. And any of these options, and there's a few other options too that you can do, you know, you can be like, oh, this is where I share tips. Like I'm more of an educator and I want to share tips in this industry. And that's how people find me. But it's really about picking one thing to focus on so that you don't feel like stretched really thin when it comes to creating your content. And you have something to constantly communicate with your customer or like bond over. And then that way you can just be able to not think too much. Because a lot of people get stuck in this like comparison world or imposter syndrome. Like they're like, I can't put anything out there. Like when I do on social media, it's so public and people get to like learn all these things about me and I'm such a private person. You can pick like a 1% part of you that you decide to share with the world, right? Because like lash nerds, like that to me is perfect. I'm going to try not to always pull it back to your brand, but like I just like using it as example because I really like the branding and the marketing. And there's a lot of thought that went into it, but like being a lash nerd to me, even just that term is like, okay, they're like super passionate about lashes and they like know everything about it. And the person who created it is probably just like online, in the books, like in person, like anywhere possible is like trying to learn more about what's good for lashes and lash extensions. So that's like a perfect example. So when you are thinking about going on social media, you can just pick a part of you that you're willing to share and really dive deep into and that have that like longevity, and you're not going to like burn out from talking about it. And that is one of the reasons why I am a business coach, because I originally didn't start off as a business coach. I wanted to be in social media. I wanted to teach people about how to use Instagram, but it changes like so fast and everybody kind of works and learns at a different pace. So I realized, oh, why? I'm being honest with myself, I couldn't keep up with Instagram. So if you're having problems with keeping up with the social media platforms, like, you're not the only one. It's a thing that everyone talks about in the industry heavily, because it's a constant debate, because there are some people who do it really well, but when they do it really well, it's because they did it their way. Like they brought their personality online. So for you to try to replicate what somebody else did doesn't usually make sense, because it's not you. So being true to yourself is really what's going to get you caught somehow in the algorithm one day, and then it will take off and it can make you viral. But that shouldn't always be the intention behind it. It's kind of up to you to decide. But yeah, it's very competitive. But being on social media, it moves really quickly. So eventually I was like, I need to pick another topic that I'm still passionate about, that I can talk about for a really long time, and that I'm willing to share the content and be seen as an expert in this area. So really land on business and then e-commerce, because e-commerce is still pretty new, even though it's been around for some time. But I find that more of the average people, which I think is really awesome, are starting to think, oh, hey, like I could start an e-commerce business. Like I'd like to kind of take that leap into starting my own business. And a lot of people can do it as a side hustle, so that like it doesn't cost a lot of money. It's very low barrier, essentially, which is really great. So I find that a lot of people are starting their own e-commerce business. So there's not as much competition that I've seen in this space for a female, which is why I picked it, because to meet someone who's been in e-commerce for 10 years, even for myself as somebody who's in the industry, is, I don't see it often. So at some point it connected the dots that being a coach would be what I wanted to do, and being in business and talking about business was going to be what I feel comfortable sharing online. And I hope that answers your second question as well. Second part of that question of like, I guess what's like the difference, because being, if you're like an artist, so it could be like any beauty artist, you're really showing your work. You're showing like, hey, this is like what your hair can look like. But being like a coach, service provider, the difference is you are constantly reminding people that you're an expert in this area, and you have to figure out what's your way of doing that. Like, is it sharing tips? Is it showing your lifestyle? How is it that you can show without actually always meeting everybody, because it's online, that like, hey, you know, this person is an expert in this area, or this is what they do, and they may be able to help you if you like jump on a call with them. And like, you really have to find like the right fit, and not everybody fits. So I think that's like the biggest difference, because if you have hair, then you can go to a hair artist and, you know, you'll get like a certain look. But with a coach, it's really intimate and it's really personal. So vetting and finding the right one is really important.
That's really interesting to think about, actually, because there's a lot of coaches in our industry right now. A lot of them, because everybody wants to help one another. You know, I think it comes from a good place. But it's interesting all the different techniques people use to try to gain customers, basically. So are there any tips that you feel are more successful if you're trying to be a coach and you're maybe trying to help lash artists build their business? Is there anything that you've seen that can be more beneficial? Or is it really just your advice that you said prior, which is staying like true to you and letting yourself shine through?
Definitely staying true to yourself. Be okay with talking about the same thing, like day and night.
That's a huge one.
I think that would be a difficult one, and why some people get like all mm-hmm. over the place, right?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to decide. It's not to say that you can't change, but I mean, as you get deeper into the game, I'm going to call it, the deeper you get into the game, the more like rapport and like reputation that you build. So sometimes pivoting off of it, like you're going to be a little bit more strategic, but yeah, just be really okay with talking about this with people that you meet for like hours at a time. And the last one would be never stop learning. So that's the other thing too. So you have to talk about it for a real long time. Like you got to be like, yeah, I could talk about this every single day, all day, 365 days a year. You also have to be willing to learn about it. 365 days of the year. You have to. I really pride myself in staying up to date as much as possible. Like, I'm not going to be perfect, right? But I'm going to try to stay up to date in my industry that I chose so that I can give that value and that education back to my customers. So when they come to me and they ask me about social media or NFTs or the metaverse, like, it's a whole new world. I don't have to. I don't have to be like, oh yeah, I have these little tidbits, but I want to be able to at least like nudge them and be like, hey, like, you may not know about NFTs, or if you're curious, like, here's some information that I know about it, so that you can slowly start learning it yourself as well. Because digital moves really fast. If you think about like 10 years ago, iPhones was just becoming a thing. We were just transitioning, honestly, in high school, like in my time, I'm probably dating myself now, is that, you know, there was like the BlackBerry, and then there's a flip phone.
BBM.
BBM. Yeah. BBM was like the thing. Like, everyone had that. Mm-hmm. But very quickly, if you remember how quickly we transitioned from the BlackBerry being the coolest thing and people being like, oh, I never want to have no buttons on my phone, to bam, here you go. Now, you can't even, some of us can't even imagine our lives without a smartphone. So technology evolves really quickly. Probably why there's so many movies about robots killing us is because, yeah, we can evolve very quickly to that point where maybe we'll be endangered. But I'm not trying to scare everybody. What I'm trying to say is being like a big champion of digital literacy and inclusion is that making sure that certain parts of the world aren't left behind in learning about what's happening. Like, because as women, we tend to be quite underserved in many industries and many parts of the society that we're in. And if there isn't somebody who is being worried about like making sure that women are kept up with what's going on and like being left behind, it means that in this new world that we're going to be part of, because that's the case, where do we fit into the equation? If we don't know what's going on, we're just going to be along for the ride. And I didn't want to be along for the ride. So I always look for people who are like, hey, can you just like give me a little rundown on this? And like, yeah, if you, I just want to be able to share the education. So that would be honestly one of my biggest tips of people who want to consider or are a coach, is never stop staying up to date and learning and being curious. Because the truth of the matter is, even though you're an expert, like, you don't know everything, because there's like some new thing that's going to come out, some new techniques, something new always for you to get interested in. You don't need to know everything, but at the very least, stay up to date in your expertise.
I have a question, because this actually happens in our industry a lot, where people keep themselves from starting their idea. And your quote on the website, you're full of ideas and don't know where to start. They kind of use education as their excuse. They're constantly trying to learn. They want to learn everything. They want to be perfect before they actually launch what they're doing. So how do you balance that continual education and getting started where you're at and knowing that it is a growth journey?
That's a really, really, really good question. Like, really good question, because I do actually see that a lot, because I myself had experienced that, and I didn't really know until maybe I was doing a little bit longer than I wanted to, was like, you can now consume a lot of information on the internet. That is, I guess, like, at sometimes a con of the digital world being so open, is that you can literally learn everything. You can get really into like, read all the blogs, read all the forums, watch all the videos in the world, listen to all the podcasts. But at some point, you have to start executing what you learned. And that is like sort of what school was trying to teach us, was like, hey, here's all the stuff that you learned. Now we're going to push you to the real world so you can trial and error what's happening. But the problem now is with the internet, is cancel culture is a thing, which is ridiculous, where they're like, oh, you've done something that we don't like, so we're going to like attack you for it. And even though it doesn't happen to us, when we see it happening, we're like, oh, this could be me. Like, if I just suddenly say the wrong thing, like, thousands of people are going to come for me. And it's scary to think that. And so we kind of built a society where trying new things, learning, even sometimes like learning new things, trying new things, and actually executing to see how it does, it scares us. Because what if we don't do it right? But then if you don't do it, how do you know? Because you can like honestly look at something, guess, make a plan like a million plus ways. And it's not to say don't make a plan, but sometimes when the thing actually happens, whatever it is, the project, the event, whatever you're executing, launching, there's a huge chance that it doesn't turn out the way you thought it was going to go. And there's like, there's no crystal ball. And you're like, oh, okay, now what do you do? And you couldn't have known that if you didn't do it. So that's like my thing, is like, how do you know how it's actually going to turn out if you don't try? And I'm not saying don't kind of take everything into consideration and, you know, take everything like, yeah, like, don't be so risk adverse, but like make an educated risk, like an educated guess.
That. Yeah, I like that too. I feel like I resonate with a lot of what you're saying because, you know, I struggle with analysis paralysis a lot.
That's one of my favorite terms.
Yeah. It's just like you said, there's an abundance of information out there. And being a perfectionist, you feel like you don't have the right to share anything until you get it perfect. So, you know, as you're talking about this, like I feel like this is a really great reminder for myself to know that, like, you know, it's not really about getting it perfect. And you do, like, no matter what you do, someone is going to view what you do as wrong and flawed. So as long as you're taking educated risk, is that what you call it?
Yes.
Yes, an educated risk. Yeah, I like that a lot because I do know that, like, a lot of artists, a lot of, you know, aspiring educators and coaches struggle with that a lot. But I have a bit of a controversial question. So there's the other side of this coin, you know? There's a spectrum. Everything is a spectrum. On this one extreme spectrum, we have people who have struggled with analysis paralysis and maybe a little bit of insecurity and a lot of insecurity perhaps, and really afraid to take that step. But then there is this other end of the spectrum where I feel like our industry, a lot of the time, there is some, it's a certain type of mindset of this like quick money making, you know, mindset, because we preach the six-figure income in our industry without giving context, without telling you how hard it really is. But we paint this beautiful picture and dream of everything that's possible. So a lot of people would kind of take that and run with it. And I start to see that the industry sometimes would have a ton of educators or coaches that comes out and coach a very specific part of businesses, let's say marketing. Or for a while, we actually had a ton of people that just taught aesthetic, Instagram aesthetic specifically, which is such a small part of your business. The question I have here is, speaking from a coach yourself, how do we look for red flags? Because I personally always look for people. I actually, when I want to learn something, I look for the expert in that industry. Like, for example, I bring you on. It's because I feel like, you know, you've been doing this for a really, really long time, and that's what you specialize in. But a lot of people in our industry have just kind of built their own business, and then now they don't really want to lash anymore, and they enjoy a certain aspect of their business, and they're now becoming coaches. But just because you have done it once, successfully or unsuccessfully, doesn't always mean that you can teach. So as a student, I feel like if, this is a very long question, but as a student in our industry, sometimes we have these blinders on and we just look for help within our industry because we feel like, you know, we can relate to them more. But we are almost at the mercy of this like limited access to coaches. And so how do I look for red flags? I guess that's my main question is how do I look for red flags? Not just be like, oh, you know, this person also did lashes and now she's teaching marketing. Maybe I should take a course from her. How do I look for those red flags that tells me that like, maybe this is not a good fit for the things that I want to learn and maybe I should look elsewhere.
Red flags happen a lot in coaching. I think coaching has, I'm sure if you asked me if I wanted to be a coach 5 years ago, I'd be like, what is that? That sounds like a scam. Like, where would you, you know? And one thing they teach you in like what I've learned from other coaches was, is that as long as you know something and you're a couple steps in front of somebody, you're able to help them is what it is. The way to catch red flags really, and this kind of goes into the fact that a lot of coaches have come out in the digital space because now we are able to communicate and connect with people all around the world, is to really get on a call with them, is to see as much as, like, to be able to connect as much as possible, like, I'm going to say this in quotations, like, in person. Because even though, you know, we go on these video calls, for me, I really am able to still connect with people over the screen. Even though they're not physically there, seeing a face is really important, humanizing, you know, the brand that you see in front of you, because we are able to present ourselves in a certain way digitally. Most of the time, we don't show up that way, or we're not like living that way every single day of our lives. So it's what to say is like Instagram is like a snapshot, like a highlight reel is what a lot of people will say, right? And so when it comes to your business, you have control over what you put out there. So I can understand when people feel concerned, like, you know, is this person really an expert? There's going to be always like a little skepticism. But how to really get over that, I say, is get on a call with them and you can figure out. This is a story. This is a true story I want to share that is shocked me when this happened was when I first was wanting to be a coach. I was like, oh, I should be coached by a coach. Like, I need to learn because I've never been a coach. How do I do this? And I see a lot of people who are like, oh, you can make 10K in 3 months. And I'm like, yeah, I want to make 10K every month. And I want to learn how to do that in 3 months. That's fast.
Yeah.
And it seems like they know what they're doing. And I want to get there. I want to take the shortcut. And that's what the thing I'm not a fan of with sometimes with coaches. I don't want to say anything negative about other ones. But what I notice sometimes is like, you know, they're trying to hook you. That's the thing. I'm going to be honest with that. I think that's what happens with a lot of marketing in general. So this can be for coaches and like Coca-Cola, is that you want to hook your customer in somehow. And this is where the red flags come from, because there is a certain level of like, you know, morals when it comes to hooking. Like, how far do you really want to push it? How clickbaity do you want to be? So if you're telling somebody, I want to make 10K in 3 months, like, yeah, I want to do that. So I got on a call with him. He was also Asian. And I was like, yeah, you know, I want to learn. You know, I think we can resonate with each other. I got on a call or booked a call, and I was speaking with him directly on Instagram. And he had like 100K followers. So I'm like, okay, this guy's got to be good. And he's very genuine. He's really religious. He looked like he had great values that I also wanted to either, like, it was same with mine, or I want to embody it. I booked a call with him through Instagram, was speaking to him. When I got onto the call, it wasn't him.
Oh.
I was not speaking to the gentleman that I saw on Instagram. I was talking to one of his salespeople.
Oh,
boy.
Ooh. It was like some other dude. And
red,
I'm like,
flag, red flag.
And I'm like, oh, where's the guy that I, you know? And I know it was not going to be cheap, right? If someone's going to be willing to teach you how to make 10K, then they're going to expect big results, big impact. And that's what he also preached a lot too. So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is awesome. I get to pay and I get to work one-on-one with this guy. He's going to be so good at what he does. But then I saw him and I was like, it's not even him. So I felt very disappointed. I felt very let down. I felt like it was a ruse. I'm sure this happens in other situations too. But I think when it's you who is like the face of something, where your touch points are with your customers are really important, you know, and being a service provider and all the things that we talked about like before, like it's really about you as a person. And that's the biggest thing about going into the coaching industry, is that you're kind of going all in as you as a person. You're not behind a brand. You don't have like something like, if things don't go right, like you can kind of pivot off of it. And there's basically solutions in that area. But when you're a coach, your reputation is really important. How you show up, who you are as a person, how you maintain yourself, like all those things. And the human aspect of it is also really important, because that's what you're paying for, right? So get on a call, make sure it's understand how the program is, what you're going to be doing with them. And if you vibe with the person. If you don't, then it's not always going to be a right fit. It's pretty much like dating. If this person, you don't really like the way they talk, or, you know, they don't feel confident, or they're just not the person that is meant to help you, it's really okay to say, hey, like, I'm going to think about it. Because if it's like, if you're not like excited to work with this person after the call, then it's just not meant to be. Because you need to be like equally as excited to be working with each other to get the most out of the experience. So it's hard these days sometimes to really judge a person through just their Instagram, social media, TikTok, whatever it is, reels. So just get on the call with somebody. Don't be afraid to be like, hey, can I talk to you for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And see how that person is.
That's so true. Because in our industry, not even just coaching, right? But like, let's say a private training for lashes ranges anything from $1,500 to $3,000. And sometimes it just blows my mind that people will simply book these training based on someone else have taken that training, or how many followers that person have on their Instagram, and, you know, how great their aesthetic look, without actually getting a conversation with them. And then they always go into the training realizing that this is not what they have wanted, or they didn't vibe with their educator as much. Because being like a learner myself, I know that I learn best when I enjoy the content, when I enjoy the teacher. And a lot of the time, like the share value thing, it's really important as well. Because the moment you don't share certain value with somebody, it's like we have these blinders, like we have these like blockers on that we're just like, I don't hear you no more. I don't understand. So I think that, you know, if you're hesitating, for our listener, you know, you've heard it from Linda, you've heard it from me, don't be afraid to ask for a call. And if somebody wants thousands of dollars from you and they can't even give you 10 minutes of their time to just get on a call with you, do they really deserve your money? I don't know. You guys decide, you know? So as we get to the end of the podcast, I wanted to kind of, you know, I've seen just in the conversation that we have right now and also personal conversation with you that you're very passionate about helping women build their businesses and being successful on their entrepreneur endeavor. So I was wondering if we can do a rapid fire round where I can ask you some quick questions that's all kind of surrounding the theme of, like, you know, entrepreneurship and some inspirational and advice, quick tips and advice on wisdom for all of our listeners. Are you down for that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Fire away.
Okay, so let's do this. My first question is, what do you want to see more from female entrepreneurs?
I want them to stop being afraid of promoting themselves and talking about their business.
I like that. I like that. The question is like on the tip of my tongue. I can't really get it out, but the question is something along the line of, what do you think the landscape of entrepreneurship looks like for female in the next 10 years?
Wow, that's a good question. I'd like to think that there will be more. And that they will be many of us who did not give up and that we can build something larger many times, not always, but entrepreneurship can lead to something bigger. And a lot of industries are not female dominant. So, you know, like maybe I'd like to see us dominating certain areas that make sense for females, like underwear and like, no disrespect, but like, why are men selling us underwear? I don't understand. Like, I would like to basically see more female products designed, created, produced by female entrepreneurs.
I like that. What is your superpower as an entrepreneur?
Listening. Just listening. I mean, I say just, but I know I didn't. I say just because I didn't think that it was such an important skill to have until I saw how much not talking was beneficial when it came to working with my clients.
Oh, nice. What is the most gracious one-line wisdom that you can leave to other entrepreneurs who are listening to this podcast?
Just because you don't have a horse to get to where you want to go, don't be afraid to use a donkey.
That's so good.
Holy cow, I love that.
That's so good.
We got to end on that. That's so good.
I know.
But then I'm like, oh, wait, we didn't plug your website.
Oh, yeah. That was so good. Okay, we'll do the plugging. But that was so good. Usually we like to leave, like end our podcast on like a one-liner like that.
And that was a good one.
That would have been a good one. Yeah. But it's okay. Wow. We'll stick around.
I'm gonna write that down for me to remember. That's great.
I know. That's really good.
Like, Cheryl, we're on a donkey right now. She's gonna be like, what? I love it.
It's okay.
Many times we are. Many times we're on the donkey, we're not on the horse.
No, yeah, we're definitely on a donkey right now. Linda, thank you so much for your generosity and your wisdom. Where can people find you and, you know, learn more about you? I know you also have a podcast yourself as well. So tell us a little bit about your podcast. Where can people find you and all the good stuff?
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate you taking the time to have me on. I really enjoy the questions. Where you can find me, I have a website, www.lindayoung.com. Young is G-I-A-N-G. You can also find me on Instagram at Musings of Linda. Musings is M-U-S-I-N-G-S. And you can also find my podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. It's called Get Shit Done. And it's where I explore entrepreneurship. I do a lot of interviews with different entrepreneurs, primarily, not to say like anyone's included, but primarily people of color. I want to understand their journey, where they're from, and, you know, for them to talk to, you know, anyone who wants to follow in their footsteps, because really the joy of being an entrepreneur and also the headache of being an entrepreneur is that you can do it in so many ways. So hearing other people talk about their journeys, there's usually lots of wisdom in that.
Well, thank you so much, Linda. It was a pleasure to have you on our podcast.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.